Good morning. This is Brian Trumbore with your Week in Review for Saturday, December 27th. I'm going to keep my remarks brief this week since I'll be throwing everything at you, including the kitchen sink, next time as I look back at 08 and then ahead to 2009. For now, it's kind of funny how some pundits tried to paint a positive picture on one economic indicator, consumer spending for November, which was down 0.6%, but up a smidge on an inflation-adjusted basis. This inflation-adjusted garbage always cracks me up. Remember how when oil was soaring, you still had those saying, yeah, but on an inflation-adjusted basis, crude isn't yet at an all-time high, as if you and I, in making our spending decisions, do a mental calculation about what the inflation-adjusted price of a loaf of bread or a new washer-dryer is before purchasing it. Anyway, the news on personal consumption and durable goods, down 1% for November, was slightly better than expected, though the latter figure is the most volatile in the entire data chain and was hardly the kind of good news we should be looking for as a sign the economy is bottoming. Certainly the housing data didn't supply any hope. In fact, it was worse than ever. New and existing home sales for November cratered, with not only sales at multi-decade lows, but the median price on an existing home dropped 13.2% year over year, 25.8% in the West, for the steepest decline since they've been keeping track of such things, and undoubtedly the worst since the 1930s. Distressingly, inventory levels in the case of the far larger existing category rose anew 11.2 months worth. You can't talk of a bottom in housing until this figure comes down substantially. Then you had retail sales. It always takes until about mid-January before you get a true picture of just how good or bad the holiday shopping season was. But the data out of MasterCard's Spending Pulse unit had retail sales down 5.5% to 8% for the period November 1st to December 24th. Ex-gasoline, which is meaningful because of the huge decline in the price of gas at the pump, sales were off 2.5% in November and 4% in December, according to Spending Pulse. These are major declines and unprecedented. It's been decades since we had holiday sales tumble like this, though obviously it shouldn't be a surprise to anyone except the shills who put out that Black Friday hype I always write of. Did you buy any gift cards this year? I know I didn't, for the first time since they became available. Retailers love them because when they redeem, they usually get another sale out of it, so this doesn't bode well for January and February, to say the least. In fact, the next few months are going to be more depressing than the last few as store closures mount, tossing hundreds of thousands more out onto the streets. My friend Jimbo wrote of his own shopping experience on Route 10 here in New Jersey, which is home to a lot of box stores. Circuit City was closing its location last weekend, as was Linen and Things. Jim went into both looking for a particular item, and he was to say the few remaining employees were more than a bit depressed, recognizing the prospects of finding another job in the space aren't good. It's not like Best Buy and Bed Bath & Beyond are going to fill the void on the employment front, though when things inevitably turn around, they'll do well with less competition, but they'll keep their staffs as lean and mean as possible without impacting service, one would hope. Globally, focus this week fell on Japan as it reported exports for the month of November were down a staggering 27%, while factory orders were off 8%, the worst performance in 55 years. Understand something, when it comes to factory orders or industrial production, normally these numbers are up or down 1% max. These days we're getting figures of 8% or higher declines from all over the world. That spells lots of layoffs. Even Toyota now says it will report its first operating loss in history for the fiscal year ending in March. This after the previous one was a record year for profits. The CEO said there is no way of knowing how the current, quote, unprecedented emergency would cut global demand in 2009. China reduced interest rates a fifth time in 3 months as the government moves aggressively to hit an 8% growth target for 2009 that would in turn stem mass joblessness and unrest. University graduates are now a key focus of some of the mainland's stimulus programs. Home prices in the UK are expected to fall another 10% in 2009. Ireland was forced to bail out three of its largest banks after an accounting scandal. Euronations saw factory orders plunge 15% in October, if you thought 8% was bad. And the governor of the Bank of Spain said the world faced a total financial meltdown, adding, quote, "the lack of confidence is total." Yes, restoring confidence is what it's going to be about next year around the globe. Many are hoping it starts with Barack Obama's inaugural address on January 20th and the stimulus package that it appears he will be signing that same day. And I just want to quote Jim Hoagland in his Washington Post op-ed. He had some interesting thoughts on the world scene, beginning with the Bernie Madoff scam. The following is all from Mr. Hoagland. Bernie Madoff had his fun with the $50 billion entrusted to him by investors. Now the media have their fun chronicling the downfall of the financier once affectionately known as the Jewish T-bill for his ability to generate guaranteed returns until his Ponzi scheme collapsed. Bernie isn't the story or the Madoff that interests me the most. Andrew and Mark, his sons and business associates, are. They reportedly went to the prosecutors after their dad confessed to them what he had done. If that version is accurate, the younger Madoff's reactions and emotions might tell us a lot about a huge problem the entire world now confronts. That problem is the awakening of the world's youth to the raw deal. Their parents and grandparents, my generation in toto, are handing them, and the growing anger the young feel about the fetid stables of debt, scandal, and corruption they are being left to clean. Jim Hoagland continues, "We have taken the greatest financial, technological, and political opportunities the world has ever offered and abused them for our own pleasures, greed, and ethos. In his own special way, Bernie was one of all of us who wasted energy in myriad forms, kept on consuming imported goods even when it meant going into debt to foreign lands that do not wish us well, and cut budgets for regulatory and law enforcement agencies even in the fat years. So we got what we didn't pay for, too, and so will our children. They are awakening to this grossly unfair state of affairs. The fuse of anger is already lit in Europe, where young people are more accustomed to taking to the streets to play out family and generational conflicts in political terms, and the police are accustomed to responding forcefully. 2 weeks of student riots and protests in Greece have left at least 70 people injured and hundreds of businesses and shops vandalized. Sparked by the police killing of a 15-year-old protester, Greece's wave of unrest certainly reflects immediate local causes as well as deeper concerns about jobs and political fecklessness. It is hard to know just what to make of protesters hurling Molotov cocktails at the national Christmas tree, as occurred in Athens, but nothing good is my guess." Mr. Hoagland continues, "But the same dry kindling of the Greek uprising is scattered around Europe, where youth unemployment rates are double or triple those of the population over 24, according to the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, and retirement benefits are politically untouchable. Similar tensions are rising in China as the global recession deepens, in oil-producing countries such as Russia and Iran that are caught in the whiplash of rising and falling prices, and most of all in developing countries with broken governments and economies that punish the educated young disproportionately. Last week, France, which knows a thing or two about youth riots, dropped a conventional education reform plan rather than risk student unrest now. It then unveiled new efforts to ease access to jobs for minority groups. And in a quietly terrifying speech in Madrid, Dominique Strauss-Kahn, the head of the International Monetary Fund, warned in only slightly veiled terms that violent protest may erupt on a global scale if governments continue to provide inadequate or confused responses to what could quickly become, quote, a global depression in 2009. There was also a whiff of alarm in the Federal Reserve's slashing of interest rates last week. Such alarm is not misplaced. Americans as a group are slow to show mass anger or despair, but the Madoff case and the callous insulting of the future that it exemplifies has little global fuse that policymakers must take into account urgently. That was Jim Hoagland of the Washington Post. This holiday shortened week, stocks fell across the board in the first of two deathly quiet ones for traders, I imagine. Everyone just wants the year to end and attempt to move on, but that's not likely. Unless you were trading the short side of the markets in 2008, you were battered, bruised, and weary, and simply not ready to get back into the game. You were more likely shell-shocked. I know I am. This week, the Dow Jones fell 0.7% to 85.15, its fourth straight weekly decline, while the S&P 500 lost 1.7% and NASDAQ 2.2%. Some on Friday got all giddy over Amazon's pronouncement it had its best holiday season ever, but the company gave zero specifics on the numbers, and in the end, the stock hardly moved. Just three more trading days left in the year, they'll go down as the worst for equities since the 1930s. It's been a year best categorized by the purchase of domestic over premium beer for most market participants, such as yours truly. Have a great holiday week. Happy New Year. And I'll be back with an awful lot for you on Saturday, January 3rd.